In this segment, I am going to talk about Thunder and kind of what's leading them to why they've been as good as they are. But ask for phone calls. You're bringing them. We do have an open line, so call in 460-9957, and as soon as someone drops, you call in as well. Here's how we do phone calls. Ask your name, where are you calling from. Matthew McConaughey welcomes you in.
All right.
And we get after it. So you're on the Sports Animal. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Brian, calling from Edmond.
All right.
Brian, what's your question today?
Oh, I just kind of had a statement that I don't think OU will ever fire Lon Kruger. Heck, he doesn't have many years left. The man's 66 years old. How long can he coach?
It's a fair point that he's kind of old. Are you saying, like, they'd kind of say, hey, you need to retire? Or are you trying to say that they would just never fire him? They just keep him until his contract's up?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, out of respect and his contract. And
I think that's more of a fair. A forced resignation is probably a more fair thing to say. I sort of agree with that. I mean, I think they'd get rid of him if he didn't make the play, if he didn't make the tournament next year, or even if they go to the first round this year, and then next year they don't make it, I think he's gone. So I mean, especially if it's a disaster next year, because no one's going to the games. They got to get people out there. That's why Capel got fired.
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the phone call.
Love the show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. 460-9957 gets you in. Yeah, but the Lon Kruger thing, I should have said, like, forced resignation. That's fair. So I think that's fair to say. Because, I mean, if say OU just loses in the first round of the tournament this year. They make it in, or they lose on the first day of the play-in game, or they don't make the tournament. And they don't make it next year. I mean, what is the attendance going to be like if they don't make the tournament next year?
Oh, it's going to be. I don't know if it can get much worse.
I mean, it's just not going to be there. No one's going to go to the games. And they're trying to build a new arena. So, I mean, I think they would say they either force him to resign or fire him. I think it's kind of the same thing to me. Is I think, you know, we'd probably see Lon Kruger resigns just because he's, like the caller said, he's had a Hall of Fame career. Okay. I mean, that's fair. But, you know, if they make the tournament next year, then, hey, he's safe. He can coach till he wants to retire. He's done a great job. And Kruger's done a great job at OU. He's done a great job. He's got him into the Final Four. No one had done that since 2002.
Right.
And he's took him to the Final Four.
And he's well-respected. I think there's a lot of things
he's
going for
him. He's won a
bunch
of games.
Absolutely.
But he's not doing that well this year.
No.
And OU basketball needs everything it can to be better. Everything it can. Speaking of being better, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the first half of the season technically over, even though it's really the first two-thirds of the season, they played 57 games here. And the last game did not go well, obviously. They lost to the Pelicans. And I kind of touched on this, and I did want to go over kind of why the Thunder have been what they've been. There's two big reasons. You should be able to name them, Zach. Two big reasons why the Thunder are where they are right now. Third seed in the West, four games out of first, two games out of the second seed, which they need to get to beat Denver. Two big reasons. You know why.
Paul George and just an incredible shooting streak by this team.
There you go. You nailed them both.
All right.
Thank you.
Good job. You don't get anything for it, but other than self-satisfaction.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself. I get to pat myself on the back.
Yeah, good job. I'll let you talk a minute on Toby's show every time you get a question right.
I'm sure he'll be pleased about this.
Oh, he'll love it. He loves it when I make deals like that. So, Paul George in the shot making has been the thing. I don't really think people have paid enough attention to just how much shot making fluctuates throughout the year. Like, again, in the game against the Pelicans, I think they shot 30-something percent from three. It was pretty low. Let me see if I can find it. Thunder Pelicans, I'm Googling up. Thunder Pelicans box score. But they had been shooting before that, going into that game, they'd been shooting 40% from January 1st to the Pelican game. What day was that? The 14th to Valentine's Day. That's how they'd been shooting. And then this game, they come out, and they just didn't hit any. They didn't hit any shots, whether they open or not. And you could say, well, Westbrook took too many threes, which is kind of true. He took 12 threes. He missed seven of them. He's not a really good three-point shooter. He's not a good three-point shooter. So, but things have kind of changed where it used to be early in the year, we used to say that Terrence Ferguson isn't a good three-point shooter. Well, now he is. Now he is a good three-point shooter. Jeremy Grant's kind of struggled more than he has in the beginning of the year shooting the three. Paul George, an excellent three-point shooter. But you know what? In New Orleans, he was missing them. He went 3 of 17. It kind of happens. They finished 22% from three in that game. 10 of 44. Which is atrocious, by the way. But you know what? The Thunder are on a team that should just stop shooting threes because they aren't making them early in the game. They're not that type of team anymore. They've shown that they can make the threes. And that's been the key for why the Thunder have been as good as they are. It's been the three-point shooting. It's been Paul George playing like an MVP candidate in the three-point shooting. 37.9% against the Trailblazers. Come back against the Rockets. And I kind of debated this with Jim about, you know, Jim always brings up the stats that the Thunder are worse when they shoot a ton of threes. And I always say, well, because they're usually behind when they're shooting threes. I mean, they shot 34 threes against the Rockets, came back and won that game. Paul George is 6 of 14 in that game, 38% from three in that game. And that's been the thing. And sometimes people don't like to accept the obvious explanation. You know, people like to have closure in their life. They like to say, like, they don't like to be like, you know, if you hear a noise late at night, you don't want to be like, oh, it's just something random in the house. You want to be like, you want to be able to know what it was. Oh, that's, you know, that's my dishwasher stopping, or that's the heater coming on, or something like that. Well, it's like that with the Thunder. It's like, well, why are they making shots now and why aren't they? And people don't want to accept that sometimes, hey, sometimes you just miss the shot. Sometimes you just make it. Greg Popovich said it. He said one of the best things I've ever heard in the history of press conferences. You know, a lot of the time, something happens, a team goes on fire, and I think it was against the Thunder, that Thunder series, the last one where they beat, where OKC beat the Spurs. The Spurs had 60-plus wins the last year, Kevin Durant. And, you know, Popovich just said, you know, the Spurs won the first game, the Thunder won the second game. I think they won the third one, too. And they ended it in game six in Oklahoma City. I think the Spurs won game five, and someone asked Popovich, well, what changed? What did you guys change with the rotations? Like, well, I didn't change anything. I didn't do anything different. You know the only thing that changed? They just made their shots. And sometimes I think we go over the top with it thinking that, well, it's just, oh, you know, they're just playing better. They're not playing hard, or they just didn't, they wanted to go to the All-Star break. You could tell they were just going to the All-Star break. I don't buy that. They just played a bad game. Can't we just say they missed their shots? Why does it always have to be, oh, he missed late in the game? Oh, he's got to be tired. You can tell he's tired because he's missing it short.
Yeah, but they were a little more.
How many times you see an announcer go, oh, so you can tell he's tired right there. He's missing the shot short. And then the next time this guy hits a three, or he takes a three, he hits it. Happens all the time. They never call it out on it because, oh, I'm being tired. Oh, that makes sense. No, it's just he's screwed up.
Right.
Why can't that be the case sometimes?
Well, I will say this team I think looked tired, but you're right. It's not on the offensive end. I think they did on defense. They allowed a lot of easy layups, a lot of easy transition baskets that they normally haven't this season.
They got killed. You know why? You want to know why the transition baskets happened?
I get it. They missed shots. I get it. I'm just saying.
Missed shots lead to transition.
They have done. I think this last game they played really poorly on defense, and not just in transition. I just think they got a lot of easy shots. The Pelicans did, and I think that's just because I think that these guys were a little bit tired, a little bit beat up. I think it's undeniable that Steven Adams has been hurt.
Why weren't the Pelicans tired? Let me ask you about that.
Why is it
just the Thunder? Why is it just the Pelicans
they
are missing?
They needed the game more.
What did the Pelicans need the game for? They need to lose. They're tanking. They're in tank mode, dude. What do they need to win for?
I don't think that the athletes are thinking about
the
tanking.
The players don't tank.
And that's what I'm saying.
The Pelicans didn't need the game. They're like,
no,
what are they
the
like?
Pelicans, but the players are the ones playing the game. I think they were like, hey, we're trying to get in the playoffs still. I mean, I don't think they're going to. They're not very good anymore, especially now Anthony Davis is hurt, but yeah, I still think they're going to play hard, and they needed the game more than the Thunder did.
They're six games out. The Thunder. This game was more important to the Thunder than it was for the Pelicans as far as winning goes. Way more important. The Thunder need it because they want to try and pass Denver. You don't want to be playing a series where Denver has more home games. And I get that home court advantage only means something in game seven. But come on, man. The Pelicans didn't need this game more. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to rip you, but I'm just saying that's kind of the excuse festival that happened after the Thunder lost this game. The Thunder put up an embarrassing performance. It wasn't this, it's the game before the All-Star break. I don't buy it. They were just tired. Why? They had just come off a home game. They hadn't played since Monday. They had 3 days off. The Pelicans had just got smoked by Orlando by 30.
I don't think tired's the word for it. I think they were disinterested.
Maybe. But, I mean, do you miss shots? Because they just don't care. They came out there. They just didn't care. So they just threw the ball up and, I missed it. Doesn't matter.
Not quite. But I think they were disinterested on defense, clearly. I think they were not interested in finishing out that game strong. I don't think they were locked in. And Steven Adams has been, like I said, I think he's pretty clearly injured in some way.
Steven Adams did look beat up. He's been struggling the last few games. There's no doubt about that. And they need him healthy. Healthy Steven Adams is the key for this Thunder team. But yeah, I will say this. Steven Adams made some huge plays late in the game when he got the tip outs. Twice in a row.
No, you're right.
He did it twice on one possession, and Thunder missed the threes both times. So I thought that was an embarrassing loss for the Thunder. And they played, look, if you're going to give them a pass because they've won 12 of 13, that's really hard to do. Eventually, you're going to have a bad night and lose some games. You know, if this wasn't right before the All-Star break, no one would be using that as an excuse, obviously. But it also doesn't mean that they would have won the game.
No, it doesn't.
Pelicans also won in Houston. When did they win in Houston? That was in January. They won in Houston when it was known that Anthony Davis wanted to be out. So I don't buy it. Anthony Davis missed the second half of the game. And these are the games that the Thunder have got to win. They've got to win. Next segment, I'm going to break down the second half of the West a little more. Because the Thunder, it's going to be a big deal because it's going to be interesting. I'm going to throw something interesting your way that I don't think people really thought about this when it comes to the Thunder. But I'm going to wait till next segment for it. And the Thunder just can't. Losing those games, losing to, who was it, Atlanta, Washington, you can't have it. You can't have it. I thought that was just a bad game. Whatever. It's over and done with. They still won 12 of 14. Still the third seed in the West. And they got a pretty good size gap between them and Portland. They didn't need that game because they had to stay ahead of Portland. They needed that game because they had to stay with Denver.
Yeah, you're
they don't,
right
they
about
don't,
that.
Only would have been a game out
yeah.
had they won that game. Only would have won a game out. Now, Anthony Davis with the Pelicans. It came out today. So earlier when he wanted a trade, it came out that he wanted four teams to be with. He wanted to be with either L.A. team. He wanted to be with the Bucks, and he wanted to be with the Knicks. Those were the four that Anthony Davis went after. Well, today we find out Anthony Davis said himself when asked to a question. Anthony Davis said, well, it's not going to be necessarily if the Celtics trade for me, they'd be a long-term destination, which is interesting. So I got to ask myself, why did that not come out earlier? I think part of that was because now Anthony Davis knows he's not going to the Lakers. So he has to say that, right? His trade destinations went from one team, he just wants to go to the Lakers, to...
Not two, not three, not four, not five.
What is that five right now, Bron? Technically. But it's probably even more than that. Because there's going to be a lot of teams trading for him. And I think all Anthony Davis is doing today is trying to save himself from looking bad. Because, I mean, imagine if he got traded to Boston and he came out there and he was already like, oh, I'm not signing an extension. Don't do that. Don't do that. We've already seen this tactic doesn't work in the NBA when you sit there and you say, I want to go to this team. Especially when you say, I want to go to the Lakers. It didn't work for Paul George, and he signed an extension in Oklahoma City. Didn't work for Kawhi Leonard. Didn't work for Jimmy Butler, although I don't know if Butler said the Lakers specifically. Jimmy Butler went out here, and he said, I don't want to be in Minnesota anymore. He said, I don't want to be in Chicago anymore. Chicago got a horrible haul for him. Although Wendell Carter looks pretty good. Good draft pick, but they screwed up their cap with Zach LaVine.
Right.
Minnesota got a bunch of junk for Jimmy Butler. They should have just taken the four draft picks from Houston. They're not going to make the playoffs this year.
I absolutely agree with that. That was insane to me they didn't take that deal.
If you're going to rebuild, rebuild big style. That's how the Celtics did it.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, how you turned down four first round, I don't even want to get started on that. It's done and over, but that was ridiculous.
Right. They didn't get anything good enough back. They're not going to be any good. But you know what? That's also the organization that signed Andrew Wiggins to a max deal when Andrew Wiggins is clearly not a max player.
Right. And remember, remember him coming out of college, everybody saying he was the next Kobe and just, I mean, crazy stuff.
He looked really good.
He's a fine player, but
he never did it.
Oh,
I think what was funnier is what the Cavs fans were like saying, oh, no, we don't want to give up Wiggins. We'll give up Anthony Bennett. He was the number one pick.
Yeah. Oh,
get out of here,
man.
With that.
Anthony Bennett. What a terrible pick.
But sitting there and saying that, hey, I'm going to go to the Lakers, has not worked yet for the NBA. So this whole thing where there's like, you're an NBA player, this whole thing where it's like, oh, I want to go play there? You gotta stop listening to it if you're a fan. And I guess reporters have to report it. I wasn't going to say, hey, maybe don't report it, or maybe just say he says that. But, you know, maybe mention that and it doesn't work. It's never gotten a team traded to where they want to go. It's a bad way to do it. And Anthony Davis is covering for himself by saying, yeah, I'd go to Boston now. Well, yeah, you're not going to have a choice, buddy.
They have
the most assets.
Right.
I will say this about the players, though. They don't really have a choice their first 9 years in the league. If you're really good, if you're Anthony Davis. First four, he's with the Pelicans. They pick up, they sign him to a max deal instead of getting his qualifying offer. So it's 8 years that he's with them. And no one's going to turn down that max deal because you're not getting it anywhere else. So it just doesn't work. So you're basically stuck there. So I get that he wants to get out. And you can blame some of that on the Pelicans. They didn't build that well around him, but they did go to the second round of the playoffs last year. They didn't think they had a playoff team this year, and they just kind of fell apart. They had a bunch of injuries. Didn't work out. It didn't work out.
I just want to say, I'm not going to rule out him going to the Lakers yet, because they just got in. Well, they're just fired their GM, right? So, I mean, maybe the next GM thinks that the Lakers do have enough assets to get it done. Now, if the Lakers want to do that deal, that's a whole different discussion. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't rule it out quite yet.
The Lakers came about this. It's so embarrassing. All right. Here's someone that's not that good. We'll trade him to you. For Anthony Davis. And then the Pelicans just didn't respond. All right, here's a bunch of pieces that aren't any good. We'll trade them to you for Anthony Davis.
You don't think Kuzma's a good piece?
Kuzma's not going to be what Anthony Davis was. He's not going to be close to that. They need to get someone back that's a superstar.
They're not going
to
get a superstar back.
Then don't trade him.
No, you don't
get a choice. Trade him just to trade him.
No, you get good young assets. I mean, Kuzma's
that's not a good young asset.
Kuzma is a great young
asset. How is that going to help you? How is Kuzma going to help
you?
All it's going to do is stop you from being near the top of the draft.
He's still a possible all-star. He's not Anthony Davis, a perennial all-star, but he's still a possible all-star.
Kuzma is not a possible all-star.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
Kuzma, no chance.
Yeah,
no chance. Kuzma's he's a nice player. He's not a bad player, but he's not a good enough player.
Think about him getting more touches on a team not like the Lakers. Take LeBron off, obviously. You go to the Pelicans. You're telling me with all the touches he's going to get, he's not going to score 30 or 25 a
yes,
game?
Yes, I will tell you that.
And
I
think that makes
he's a good player.
Be an all-star.
He's a good player, but you'd rather have what Boston's offering. And if the Lakers aren't going to do, like, four first-rounders and then swap rights the other three first-rounders that you can't trade, then don't do it with the Lakers.
Right. Oh, no.
Tell them to stop tampering.
Yeah, if the Celtics are giving you Jason Tatum, you take that all day to the bank. But I'm just saying, if they didn't, then the Lakers have a pretty compelling
deal.
That's
not a good offer. They don't take it. You could do better. I guarantee if the Rockets are going to be four first-rounders for him, you take it.
I don't know. Are those going to be any good, though? What?
Oh, yeah, down
those?
The line. If you're going all in like that, your team's going to go through tanking.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's
okay.
Like what the Nets did. The Nets went all in to go to the first round of the playoffs. And, oh, my gosh, I remember at the time laughing at that trade.
Oh, yeah.
How stupid it was. Yeah. And then people like Nashville, the Nets are players now. And it's like, how are you covering the NBA and talking about that like it's a good deal for the Nets? That's what I thought at the time. So don't say, I mean, so the Anthony Davis thing, basically, the reason why he's saying he wants to go to the Celtics now, don't be fooled by it. Don't sit there and say, well, Woj was wrong or anything like that. Woj was not wrong. Woj was reporting what he was told to report. Anthony Davis just saying that because there's a chance he gets traded to Boston and he doesn't want to get booed in there. It's like when Paul George came here, he's like, well, I'm going to be open-minded here. And you know what happened? He actually did get convinced to stay here. Because you don't want to look dumb and say, well, I'm not re-signing there. And then all of a sudden re-sign there. Because, you know, it's a different situation. They're going to think about it. No matter where Anthony Davis gets traded. Even if it was Oklahoma City. If they trade, he'd keep his mind open. I'm not saying he's going to get traded here. I'm just saying. But I'm saying that's why he came out today and said, well, I would sign a long-term deal with Boston. It doesn't mean the deal with Boston's getting done. It's just saying Anthony Davis is trying to cover himself. It doesn't mean he's going to stay long term, but it also doesn't mean he's going to leave long term. I mean, if he got traded to Boston, they'd be in a great situation. And if Kyrie Irving, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be there with Anthony Davis. Who knows? Who knows? Next segment, I gotta break down the Western Conference playoff race. It's getting close. I told you I'd do it. I'm going to do it next segment, and I'll take your phone calls, 460-9957. Quick hits with the missile, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. I got to talk a little bit more. I'll talk more about people wanting defense and why. I'm going to prove it to you next segment. Toby Howell comes on at 5 o'clock, talking sports with Toby Howell. And this segment, though, I got to talk about the Western Conference and possible playoffs. I want to go over the second half. So here's an important number, and I want you guys to take a guess along at home. I'm going to have Zach guess it too. What does this number mean? 572. I want you to think about this, listening in your car, at home, wherever you're listening. So I want you to think, what does this mean? Zach?
572.
572.
Wow. I don't know.
It's the strength of schedule the Thunder face the last 25 games of the
year.
Not necessarily. I was going to say the last half of the season, but All-Star break happens two-thirds of the way through the season.
I'm guessing they're including playoffs, so I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I'm guessing that's the way that they say that it's halfway is through the end of the playoffs, I'm guessing, maybe.
Through June? Are we halfway through there?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying that would make kind of sense, maybe.
I don't know. They usually do it. Every other sport does it halfway through the season.
Yeah, baseball, that would make more sense, but, you know, whatever.
Football does it at the end of the season. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that is the toughest strength of schedule the rest of the season for any team in the NBA. Now, it's not perfect. It is not perfect. Because, you know, this is just using opponent strength, opponent record. You know, playing Denver. You play them in Denver, that's one of the toughest games you're going to play of the year. You play Denver at home, might as well be playing the Kings at home. It's about the same. They're 500 at home on the road. Did you know that, Denver?
I actually didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, Denver isn't any good on the road. They're very good at home.
Yeah, they're really good.
So it isn't perfect, and I really don't have a way to make it a little more perfect. So maybe it might not end up being the toughest, but they do have the toughest remaining schedule. Number two is Charlotte. Do you know what the second toughest schedule in the West is? By opponent win percentage.
Who?
The Denver Nuggets.
Oh, wow.
Here's Denver's toughest games remaining. They got two games against Golden State left, two against the Pacers, two against the Thunder. Thunder have a game against the Bucks left, two against the Raptors. They go back-to-back. It's not, you know, it's like back-to-back games. They play like Sunday, Tuesday or something like that. One in Toronto, one in Oklahoma City. They have one against the Warriors, and they have two against the Nuggets. Are their toughest games remaining? Easiest games for the Thunder, and this is why it is pretty difficult. The Grizzlies, who stink, they're in the Legion of Suckitude right now. They're in tank mode. The Mavericks, who, okay, that could be pretty tough. I'm going to check and see if that's, is that in Dallas or in Oklahoma City? Because it's different. Oklahoma City already lost in Dallas earlier this year.
Yeah, Mavericks are a sneaky team. They're sneaky good.
Doncic is just scary when you face him, at home. If Dallas is at home, Doncic is scary. I'm not saying. Oh, they play at home against Dallas. So that's not that tough of a game. The Pistons, they got the Pistons, the Heat, and the Timberwolves listed as their easiest games remaining by record. They got to play at Minnesota twice. They already lost to the Timberwolves twice at home. They play at home against Detroit, at home against Miami. Remember, they smoked the Heat. They smoked the Heat in Miami. So maybe it's not. Maybe they can beat them again at home. And the other thing to remember when we go over the Thunder schedule, like if I go through the next five games, which is really tough, versus Utah, versus Sacramento, at Denver, versus Philly, at San Antonio, what'd you say, 3-2, 2-3?
Name them again.
Versus Utah, versus Sacramento, at Denver, versus Philly, at San Antonio.
Man, you know, I would say they would probably go 4-1, actually.
Oh, wow. 4-1.
I'll give them 4-1. If they're shooting like they have been recently.
I would say 2-3, 3-2. So,
but that's fair.
When you look at it, it's a little different than when you're just going by strength of schedule. Because, you know, in that stretch, those are all tough games. But we both kind of expect the Thunder to have a winning record in those games.
They should.
So the other point to make out is the Thunder are a pretty good team. Denver's also a really good team. Denver's got the next toughest. And this is the key with Denver. I already said they're different home and away, right? That Denver is far and away a better home. When you're playing Denver in Denver, you might as well be playing the Warriors. They're that good at home. They have the best home record in the NBA. They're 25-4. The Warriors are 22-7 at home. Away, though, they're 14-4. And what you might notice is they have one more road game than away game left for Denver. So it's going to be tough to pass Denver when you have a tougher schedule than them and you're two games behind, even if you might be the better team. Like, the Thunder could play better over the last 25 games and still not catch them because Denver has the two-game lead. But you don't want to play Denver, like I was saying. You don't want to play Denver in Denver because they're so good at altitude. 25-4 at home. You got to get the two seed. That's why that Pelicans game is so important. You have to get it. And right now, Denver is up 2-0 on the Thunder. Denver swept the Thunder so far. Two more games left, one in Denver, one in Oklahoma City. They're right there. The Thunder have to pass them if they're going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, I don't think you're beating Golden State whether or not you have home court advantage. Houston had that shot last year. They didn't get it. They didn't do it. Chris Paul got hurt, and they didn't make their shots. So the Thunder need to, if they're going to beat Denver in a playoff series, I think they need home court advantage.
Well,
that's big.
Well, I will say that it's a little bit different in a playoff series scenario when you're talking about the Nuggets. The Thunder still have a chance. Now, obviously, the Nuggets have a very great record at home because it's a very unique home court advantage with the altitude and stuff. But given time in a seven-game series, you can adapt to those road conditions and play them maybe a little bit better at their own house. Possibly.
Maybe that's true. Maybe part of it's Denver's coming flying from the mountains to lower altitude and then go back up to altitude and they're adjusted and someone else isn't. But I'll say this, you don't have that many days off between games.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You don't have that many. So it'd be tough. Now, the rest of the West. And this is where it kind of gets interesting as far as strength of schedule, where they rank. The Lakers ranked 9th, Warriors 14th, Houston 15th, Blazers 17th, Spurs 19th, Kings 21st, Jazz, 29th in the NBA in remaining strength of schedule. 29th. Utah's toughest games. Milwaukee, Denver, they got two left against Denver, two against Oklahoma City, and they got one left against the Clippers. It's the only place where the Clippers show up as toughest game remaining, against the Jazz. That's how easy their schedule is. The Jazz have the Suns three times remaining in the season. They got the Knicks. They got the Bulls. They got the Hawks. The Jazz got an easy schedule. I'd be a little nervous about Utah. I mean, the thing with the Thunder is Utah's five games back, so I don't think Utah's making up five games in Oklahoma City, but I'd be a little bit nervous about Utah coming up the stretch. Utah, I think, is going to get the 4 seed. You know, I said this. Mark and Dusty, they asked me yesterday on the Monster Show. They said, you know, where do you think the Thunder ends up? Who do you think they're playing? I said the 3 seed against Houston. They kind of looked at me like, wow, you think Houston's going down there? Well, yeah, Portland's already ahead of Houston right now, and they got an easier schedule. It's not that much different. And then you got the Jazz that have the easiest schedule in the Western Conference. The easiest schedule in the Western Conference. The only one that's easier than them in the NBA is Toronto. So I do think that Utah is going to make a run up there. I think Utah is going to end up as the 4 seed because of their easy schedule. And they're clicking right now, too. I think part of that is they played a tougher schedule early in the year. It's the same thing the Jazz did last year. Remember, they came out of nowhere. They were like 4 games out of the playoffs at the All-Star break and came through and ended up as a 5 seed. They rolled through post-All-Star break last year. So I'm going to be a little worried about the Jazz. So I think it's Jazz Blazers 4-5 game, Oklahoma City Houston 3-6 game. San Antonio, I think, gets a 7 seed, plays Denver, and then I think the Kings end up in the last playoff spot because I think the Clippers are tanking. I think they're kind of in tank mode. They're only game up. The Lakers are two back of the Kings. Kings got a way easier schedule. It's a huge edge for them. LeBron might not be in the playoffs. And it's like I said last year, when LeBron was at the Cavs, if you look at the Cavs' record, they had that record in the West. I don't think they would have gotten in the playoffs. Or they would have been tied for the last spot or something like that. So LeBron goes to the Lakers. He drags him up from being a horrible team because he's the best player in the world. And it's still not good enough to get in the playoffs. He's far away from it. I don't think he's getting in. I think the Thunder are going to be the 3 seed. I think the Jazz are the team to watch out for in the second half of the season. So it's going to be interesting, though, for the Western Conference. I do think one of the more intriguing ones in the East is the Southwest Division. Get this. The Hornets lead the Southwest at 27-30. They're the 7 seed in the East. I would love to see it in that whole division if none of them were top 8, but one of them had to go to the playoffs because they won the division. It's not going to happen because the Southeast Division is all bunched up behind the Pistons. Like, the Pistons are the 8 seed, and the rest of the division, Heat, Magic, Wizards, and Hawks are all right behind them. And then the Bulls are too far out. The Bulls are like 13 out. So not going to be able to ruin that. But I would love to see that happen. I do like the Magic to win that division, although divisions don't really mean anything. But I do kind of like the Magic. The Magic are surging, and they just crush the Hornets right before the All-Star break. But I just think it's interesting that the winner of the division could be the 7 seed in that race. But outside of the East, the top four, and I think we kind of went over this, I still think it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Philly is the top four.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think they're better than the Pacers. And the top four in the West, Golden State, Denver, Oklahoma City, Utah, is how I got it. Top four in the East is a lot better than the West. I don't think we would have said this at the beginning of the year. I think we would have just been like, wow, there's no way. I think I even asked you that early in the year. I said, hey, you know, the top four in the East better? And you said, no, Western Conference. West's been better for years. I think the East is tougher at the top now than the West.
I think more competitive, yeah.
It is more competitive. And then the Nets are a good team now.
They're okay.
Nets have been on fire. Where'd they start? Like 8-17 or something like
that? Yeah, I mean, they have these weird players that are not stars really by any means, but yet are pretty good. D'Angelo Russell, what's-his-face, Dinwiddie. God,
yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert's back now.
Yeah, and LeVert's
Joe Harris has been shooting.
I mean,
they got some good players.
Yeah.
And then it's like the same thing. Jim and I actually talked about that when the Thunder were playing the Nets in Brooklyn. We were all like, and the Thunder barely won that game. That was in like November. I was talking with Jim, and I'm just like, you know, if the Thunder traded for any one of those players at the trade deadline, they have, I'd be like, hey, he's a pretty good player. It's amazing that they're this bad. They've torn it up since then. And then the Thunder played the Magic. And I said, and Thunder played great against them. They crushed them. That's the Magic's only loss in the last 9 games. Did you know that?
Really?
The Magic have been on fire.
Well, the Magic aren't a bad team. They're okay. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they're decent. They're not going to make it out of the first round of the playoffs, but I think they make the playoffs. I think they win the division. But we kind of talked about that, and I was like, you know, it's like I said with the Nets, Jim, the Magic, anyone on, and Jim agreed with me on this, if the Thunder traded for anyone on the Nets, on the Magic, we'd be like, oh, that's a pretty good deal. Aaron Gordon's a pretty good player. Vucevic is a pretty good player. Jonathan Isaacs, he's all right. He can't shoot. Plays really good defense.
He would fit in right here on the Thunder, then, wouldn't he?
Any one of those players is pretty good. And look, the Magic have gone on a run since then. So I just think that's just kind of interesting that when you look at teams that are just like some of the ones that are struggling, we're like, man, every single one of those players is at least decent. None of them's bad. Fournier is a pretty good player, too. And they go on a run. They go on a huge run. And they make the playoffs. But the thing, if you're a Thunder fan, if I'm an Oklahoma City fan, definitely rooting against Denver, you don't want to go against the Nuggets in the second round of the playoffs. And maybe you're hoping that Houston drops to the 7 seed and that Houston can beat Denver. Because I don't think, if there's a team that I'm trying to avoid besides the Warriors, like you want to be in the 2-3 range on that side of the bracket. But if there's a team I'm trying to avoid, it's Denver. I don't think people talk enough about how good Denver is. Jokic is the MVP candidate. Murray has been playing really good this year.
Yeah, he's played really well.
Paul Millsap missed a whole bunch of time.
Yeah, and he's back playing pretty well now.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah.
What's the dude from Boston that's back now? The one that got screwed over. Isaiah Thomas.
Oh,
the one that wanted the Brinks truck and then didn't get anything because he had another year till free agency and he played in the playoffs, hurt his hip, got traded to Cleveland. LeBron didn't like him there. He got traded to the Lakers. Nothing really happened for him there, and he never made that big contract. He's back. Isaiah Thomas. Denver's a scary team. They might, man, if it was a neutral court, I might take the Thunder still. But Denver at home is like one of the best in the NBA. Denver on the road is just a middle-of-the-road team.
Right.
Middle-of-the-road team.
And this isn't to say, at least in my opinion, that if they get into a seven-game series and Denver has home court advantage, I'm not going to just I'm not just riding off the Thunder. I still think they can win that series, but it's going to be an uphill battle. It's harder. It's much harder.
Okay. I agree with you. I agree. It's not that they're going to lose. It's like when OKC was playing Utah, everyone was like, well, if Utah was the home had the home court advantage, I'd take Utah, and then Utah won that series.
Right.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Happens a lot. Quick Hits of the Missile continues next segment with I'm going to talk about Big 12 and recruiting, something Mark and Dusty kind of brought up, and I kind of want to expand on that. It's going to be next on Quick Hits of the Missile. I'm the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman, at 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. You can follow me on Twitter, at Latvian Missile. Zach Volk producing the show in studio. Zach's final show to produce of the day. They'll be talking sports with Toby Howell at 5 o'clock. You can tell him all about how the Supersonics left Seattle to come to Oklahoma City. He's a guy from the Northwest. He'll love it. He's got some stats for you on that. I did kind of want to talk about a little recruiting here. And it's Big 12 more so the way things change in college football. And I kind of think, so Mark and Dusty on, I think it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, I wasn't here on Wednesday. So it was either Thursday or Friday. They made up a great point. I think Dusty brought up a really good point. And then he said, recruits are now more, they didn't want to come to Big 12 schools, but they more do now because every place in the country is running these offenses that the Big 12 is running. Like Auburn's doing it in the SEC. Arkansas now with Chad Morris. They're all running. Even Alabama changed up what they're doing. But the one thing I do want to say with that is recruiting is what matters in college football. You get a top recruiting class, you can win the national title. There's like 10 teams that can win it every single year. But it also goes in cycles. Like right now, the Southeast has the best defensive players. But, you know, sometimes it'll come through Texas, California. Like the Pac-12's on a down cycle, and it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. But eventually they're going to pop out of it and be a top conference again, like they were in the early 2000s. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 were the two best conferences. There was a time when that was true. And it'll go through cycles. And I think with OU and OSU, they got to recruit any defensive player that's here. And this is easier said than done. They got to get them. They got to get these guys. And they got to be better at evaluating talent. You can't have the five stars that are going to be busts. There are going to be some. Not every five star pans out. But you got to get the better five stars. I don't think that either staff has done a good enough job. And any Oklahoma State fan listening right now is nodding their head yes. Because Mike Gundy put in an awful effort in recruiting this year. It was embarrassingly bad. They got both teams have, well, I guess OSU Knowles is going to be in his second year as defensive coordinator. OU's getting a new coordinator this year, Alex Grinch. We'll see how well he does. It's not going to be a quick fix for Grinch. The thing is, he's got to get his guys in and develop them. He didn't get to recruit the other players. And I think they're going to kind of change what they're going after in recruits. I think that's a good thing. But if you're expecting OU's defense to all of a sudden next year just be lights out, you're wrong. And I'm not saying Mark and Dusty were saying that. They weren't saying that. They were saying you got to wait. I just think it was a great point that they made that defensive players are now wanting to come to the Big 12. Well, defensive players don't hop in and become studs right away. It's very rare. You know, it takes a while. Like, I always bring up Stephen Parker. He struggled his freshman year as a true freshman. Sophomore year, he's really good. He was all Big 12 by his third year playing. So it can happen. That's all I'm saying. But I do think it's a good point that, hey, recruits might be more willing to come to the Big 12. But ask yourself this. If Missile is a defensive player, he's a recruit, am I more likely to go to an SEC school? Say I'm choosing between OU and LSU. OU is more likely to go to the playoffs. LSU, which was, you know, I'm from Houston, so about equal. LSU is a little closer than OU. But am I going to go there where they have a lights-out defense? Am I going to go to OU where it's not as good? That's kind of the thing. It's tough to bring those recruits in. But they got to do it. They got to find a way to get it done. And part of the reason why geography matters is people don't go too far away from college. You know, you usually go where you're end your senior year. You know, there are kids that go from way out of state. You know, there's kids from Massachusetts that go to OU. But the majority of kids from OU are from Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Dallas, because it's closer. Majority of kids in Alabama from Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, whatever's close, Florida. That's where they all come from. So the thing that'll pick up defense the most is having good defenders in Dallas. I mean, look where Dusty's from. He's from Lake Dallas, Texas, which is right outside of Dallas. You get the good defensive players from Oklahoma and Dallas, OU's defense will start improving. That's the thing. They also got to get them when they're there.
Right.
They also got to get them when they're there.
And it's just important to note that bad recruiting classes aren't – it doesn't just hurt that year. It hurts going forward. Because you get worse.
It's a year you don't get to replace.
Exactly. And so with this OSU thing, you could say, oh, it's not a big deal. Gundy didn't do that well this time. It's a pretty big deal. It hurts you going forward to other recruiting classes as well. So it's important. It's important to do your best.
It's important. And one more football thing while I'm on football. Jalen Hurts and the Heisman. I'll probably go on to this, you know, as the summer. I'll talk about this all year long. But I do want to say this first before anyone else gets here. I don't think Hurts is a shot at winning the Heisman. Here's the thing with Jalen Hurts. I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he can throw because Kyler Murray did it. Baker Mayfield did it. Lincoln Riley's shown he's done a great offense. He's done a great job with this. So I'm going to give Jalen Hurts the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not going to say that he's not going to be able to throw next year. I mean, I'm not going to think that OU's going to have one of the greatest offenses of all time again. It's hard to think. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt when it comes to Jalen Hurts being really good. However, I don't think he has a Heisman chance for two reasons. Number one, voters are going to be tired of voting OU quarterbacks number one. Like, that's just the way it is. It's like, why doesn't LeBron win the MVP every year in the NBA? He's clearly the best player in the NBA. Why doesn't he win it every year? Because they don't want to vote for LeBron every year. Voters don't want to vote for him anyway. Another OU quarterback in the Heisman. They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. And number two, the main reason why Jalen Hurts is not going to win the Heisman at OU next year is that he couldn't beat out Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama, and Tua is still quarterbacking Alabama. Alabama is going to be really good next year. I don't care that they got lit up in the national title game. They're still going to be really good, and they're still going to be the number two team in the country. Trevor Lawrence is also going to be tough to beat out. Clemson is going to be the number one team in the country. But he's not beating out Tua for the Heisman when Tua beat him out for the position. Tua made him transfer.
Well, to be fair, that's not exactly what the award. I look at it as more of an MVP award. You know, what do you mean to
most
your
valuable.
Team? So I mean, you know,
Tua's more valuable. If you beat him out, he's more valuable.
I agree, but I'm just saying that it is possible for him to be more valuable to OU than Tua is necessarily to Alabama. I don't think that's the case. I'm not making the case that he's going to win. I don't think he's going to win a Heisman. I don't think he has a chance. I'm just saying it is possible. Even if he didn't beat out Tua, it's not going to happen.
I mean, he'd have to put up some crazy stats and Tua would have to get hurt. But, I mean, if they're both there and they're both putting up similar numbers, I mean, Tua's going to get the award because he beat him out. And there's Trevor Lawrence and stuff to beat out, too. But it's a while away till we get to college football. Zach, what you got going on after this? Finally out of here.
I'm going to go get some dinner and then probably go over to my friend's house, hang out for a bit. So
sounds good, man. Sounds good. It's a cold night out there, man.
Maybe we can watch some, you know, All-Star stuff. Because I know you're a big fan of the All-Star stuff.
So. I love the All-Star stuff. Maybe I'll do that. This has been Quick Hits of the Missile. Every Tuesday, you can catch the podcast show every Saturday from 3 to 5. I'm the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman. This is 98.1 FM WWS, the Sports Animal. Up next, it's Talking Sports with Toby Howell. And how the Sonics move to Oklahoma City. It's next on the Sports Animal.